How do you do? Any woman who has lived through poverty, depression, and a bad marriage, even widowhood and a bogus lawsuit, might become bitter. But the woman in this story has learned to count it all joy. She knows that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning, because her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
You're nobody, and don't you forget it.
That's not true, Gary. I'm respected at the clinic.
You want real respect? Become a doctor like me. But you're not smart enough for that. You're just a nurse.
A nurse practitioner. I worked hard to get where I am.
You don't know what hard work is.
I'm the one who supported us while you were in med school. I'm still supporting us.
And all the while, you're thinking about that old boyfriend Marvin, aren't you? Aren't you?
Gary, I was a teenager when we dated.
You'd like to see him again. Well, let me tell you, I can have any woman I want, at the hospital or anywhere else.
This is Unshackled, the award-winning radio drama. True life stories of real people dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Homeless people cry silently, alone in the dark. No one seems to understand their predicament. But folks at Pacific Garden Mission understand. So they keep the doors open day and night, ready to welcome those without means. Increasing numbers of men, women, and children seek shelter each day at the old lighthouse. And thanks to generous friends who send financial gifts, hundreds receive food, fresh clothing, and a safe bunk for the night. Even medical and dental treatment in the Mission Clinic, all without charge to resident guests. Mission pastors and counselors share the good news, the way out of their dilemma. That way is through the one who gave himself a ransom for all. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3268 in the series, Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Is this Judy?
Who is this?
It's Gary's wife, Peggy.
How did you get my number?
From Gary's cell phone bill.
Why would he be here?
I thought you might know where he is.
Try the hospital.
I called yesterday and today, but he hasn't called me back.
Because he doesn't want you, and he doesn't want to talk to you. Gary's on vacation in Hawaii. He went there to get away from you.
Cruel words for a wife who's worried about and searching for her husband. What she found dramatically changed her life. This is the true testimony of Peggy Lucas, right now on Unshackled.
My feelings of depression and low self-esteem started in childhood. As one of seven children, I was fifth. I endured my brother's constant ridicule. When I was nine, Mom divorced Dad, who was an alcoholic. Neither parent was around much. Mom was busy with work and numerous boyfriends, leaving me to take care of my younger siblings and to take the blame when things went wrong.
Why did you let her do that, Peggy? You should have kept an eye on her. Now I have to take her to the doctor, and that means getting the government involved. I hate being on welfare. I hate using food stamps. If I didn't have you kids, my life would be better.
We lived in Fairbank, Iowa, and I battled depression. When I was 12, Mom took a two-week vacation with a boyfriend, leaving me in charge. She always blamed us when her lovers broke up with her. We attended a church with rituals only. But even as a child, I prayed to Jesus. And when I was 14, a friend invited me to Vacation Bible School. There I learned about God's love and His personal knowledge of each individual.
God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Love for us kept Jesus nailed to the cross. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In John chapter 15, Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And that's what he did.
Wow.
But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for your sins because you have an enemy out there, the devil who wants to destroy you. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
I learned so much that gave me hope, but I still battled depression and had no friends. During my sophomore year in high school, I met Lori. We became inseparable friends. Then Mom moved us to Mankato, Minnesota, where we lived in a trailer. It was a new beginning for me. I became more sociable and made friends at school. I also worked at a restaurant to earn money. We'd been there only one semester when Mom made an abrupt decision.
I'm moving back home.
What?
You heard me.
But my brother's living there with his wife.
No, he's in his own place.
I don't want to go back in the middle of the school year.
Well, you can't stay here alone.
I can live with some friends I met at the restaurant.
Are you sure?
Yeah, at least till the semester ends.
I stayed with a friend, but the man of the house made advances toward me. I didn't tell anyone. I just avoided him. Then I moved back home, and depression engulfed me again. I became engaged to my brother's friend, Marvin, but I decided to go to college in Minnesota. I joined a Christian youth group while there, and I learned more about God. Some in the group were nurses, and I decided to become a nurse, too. Then I transferred to the University of Iowa.
Hello?
Lori, it's me.
Peggy, how's it going there in Iowa City?
It's hard, working and going to school, too. I broke up with Marvin.
Good. He wasn't right for you. Are you still living with your sister?
No, she's going through a divorce, and it was too much for both of us. No, I'm living with an elderly woman, helping her in exchange for a room. But she needs more help than I can give her, too.
Are you going to drop out?
No, I'm going to join the Army Reserves.
Are you kidding?
No, they'll help cover my tuition. All I have to do is survive boot camp. I trained in Fort Jackson, South Carolina, and returned to the university, convinced I was retarded. The rigor of boot camp was horrific. Nevertheless, I finished my first year of nursing school and spent the summer in San Antonio, training as a field medic. Once again, my depression was gone. I was fun-loving and free, a real party girl. That's when I met Gary.
A nurse, huh? Just what I need in life, especially when I have a hangover.
Oh, that's easy to cure. Don't drink so much.
If I can have you as a caregiver, lead me to the bottle. Judging by all the guys hanging around, I'm not the only one who feels that way. I thought I'd never get a chance to talk to you.
Well, save me from them.
You're not going steady, are you? I don't see a ring.
No, I came here with my girlfriends. I'm not attached.
Well, that's about to change.
Gary made me laugh and saved me from all the guys who were pursuing me. I fell in love with him, and we lived together a couple of months.
So who's Marv?
Well, why do you ask?
You just called me Marv.
He's my brother's friend.
What else?
Well, I dated him in high school.
That's all? Just dated?
We were engaged for a while, but I broke it off because he wasn't right for me.
How long were you engaged?
A few months.
Did you live together?
No.
Were you intimate?
Gary, please.
Answer me.
I was young and foolish.
I might have known.
Gary never let me forget my indiscretion, but I wanted to marry him, so I ignored his jealousy. I thought it was deep love. I was 1 month pregnant when we married. Gary was such a flirt. During our wedding reception, he even flirted with a pretty girl. When I told him it wasn't appropriate, he threw beer on me.
In a moment, we'll hear more about Peggy's increasing marital troubles. We get many prayer requests from listeners like this one. My younger brother is struggling in his marriage, and their sons are making bad decisions. Pray for them. Well, we do pray, and we send each request onto our prayer band, people who love the Lord and pray for each situation. Prayer changes things. So if you have some need, write and tell us, and we'll lift your concerns to God. Or if you would like to be a part of our prayer band, write and tell us. What a privilege to spend time with the Savior on behalf of others. There is no requirement other than a desire to draw near to God and serve the body of Christ. To request prayer or to join our prayer band, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
While I was pregnant, I stayed in college and graduated with a Bachelor of Nursing degree. After our daughter Tammy was born, I worked at the hospital in St. Joseph. Gary was a perpetual student who worked sporadically, but he never failed to blame me when things went wrong. Our son Jake was born in 1990, the year of the Gulf War, and Gary served there. His family lived in town, but we weren't close. Betsy, are you following the news? I'm so worried about Gary.
He'll be fine.
What if he's injured?
Buck up, Peggy. You're just weak.
Well, Jake has a respiratory virus.
Oh, well. Most kids get viruses sooner or later.
He's only 2 months old. The doctor agreed to let me take care of him at home.
Well, you are a nurse.
Could you come and look after him while I run to the store?
I'm busy now. Maybe later this week.
When Gary returned from the war, he decided to get a pharmaceutical degree, so we moved to Indiana. I was excited about recreating myself to new people. Gary was stressed by the curriculum and treated me worse than ever. I thought about divorce, but wanted to keep the covenant I had learned was to God and Gary. My income was our support. Gary finished his first year, so I was hopeful.
I flunked.
You flunked?
You sound like an idiot repeating what I say.
I'm just shocked.
Well, get used to it. If you had kept the kids quiet, I might have been able to study and get good grades.
Oh, it's always my fault.
At least we agree on something.
What now?
I'm going back to St. Joseph. Since you're working, you can stay and sell the house.
It took me a year to sell the house. During that time, Gary drove to see us every weekend, driving 8 hours one way. We moved to Savannah, Missouri, a town north of St. Joseph. He admitted to infidelity, but said it meant nothing to him. I believed him. I read books on marriage and tried to change what I could, but Gary treated me worse, always bringing up Marv's name in accusations. When Tammy was 9, I went back to school to become a family nurse practitioner.
You call this a meal?
Well, I had to study for my exam. It was the best I could do when I got home from work.
You should go to school to learn how to cook, huh, kids? I'll bet you fixed better meals than this for Marv, didn't you?
Gary!
At least you called me by my right name.
Think about the children.
Oh, I do think about them. Which is more than Mommy does, huh, kids? Mommy only thinks about her job and the men she meets there. She's just like her mom.
Gary detested my family. He kept me from everyone I liked and groomed our children to disrespect me. Jake was especially rude, parroting his father. After I became a nurse practitioner, Gary decided to go to medical school. He drove to Kansas City every day where the training was intense, straining our family. He got into pornography and wanted to swing with other couples. Hey, Lori. It's me.
Peggy, how's everything?
Gary finally graduated from med school.
That must be a relief.
Yeah. I was considering divorce, but changed my mind.
Good for you. Is he back home then?
No, He's in residency at a hospital in Lee's Summit, so he has an apartment in North Kansas City.
Marriage isn't easy, is it?
No. It's the hardest thing I've ever done.
Stay with it, girl.
Gary's verbal abuse escalated, but I couldn't bring myself to leave him because I was the only one bringing in a paycheck. He kept accusing me of having affairs, which wasn't true, but effectively cut off most friendships. We put our children in a Christian school in St. Joseph. Tammy had just gotten her driver's license, so she drove Jake to school each day. Nothing could have prepared me for the night of November 20th, 2004. I had tried calling Gary on Thursday, but couldn't reach him. On Friday after work, the kids and I drove down to his apartment, arriving around midnight. My key unlocked the front door, but it was locked from the inside, so I beat on the door until it crashed.
Mom, Dad'll kill you for breaking his door!
Something's wrong with him! The bedroom door is locked. Let's find a paperclip. We unlocked the door, and somehow Tammy and Jake pushed ahead of me and started screaming. Gary was draped over the side of the bed, his face and upper body bloated. I knelt down and touched his hair, but he was dead. It was a heart attack. I was in shock, so Tammy called 911 while Jake ran to tell the neighbors. Soon the SWAT team, paramedics, and police arrived and made us leave. We drove back home at 3 a.m. We managed to get through the funeral. A couple from the Christian school helped me, and I often called my friend.
You're still in shock, Peggy. That's why you have to lie down so much.
I don't sleep. I just lie down every hour.
You need help.
Gary's parents are staying with us right now. They're helping me with the financial paperwork.
How are the children?
They've turned their father into a martyr. They've forgotten how mean he was to me. A woman came up to me at the funeral home and said she was Gary's best friend. She gave Tammy her cell phone number. She's the same woman who left an explicit message on Gary's cell phone.
I think he was cheating on you.
She told Tammy they had an affair.
How cruel of her. Maybe you should talk with a counselor, Peggy.
Four months after Gary's death, I bought a house, planning to start a new life, if I could get over this nightmare. Both of my kids disrespected me. Jake was 14 and blamed God for his dad's death. At 18, Tammy simply missed her dad. But they both became belligerent, refusing to obey me or help with chores. So we all got counseling. I attended Bible studies because I knew only God could help me. I became friends with another mom there.
I've been praying for Jake. I heard how he threatened some kids at school.
Oh, thank you. I knew he wouldn't talk to me about it, so I asked the juvenile court to intervene, and they've sent him to anger management classes.
God can heal and change his heart. Remember, Peggy, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
I don't know if I'm called.
Every believer is called for his purpose.
My counselor suggested I send Jake to a Christian boys' school. Please, pray that I'll make the right decision.
You should depend on God and your personal relationship with him. Trust him.
But you seem to hear from God more than I do.
The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
I want what you have.
God's offer of salvation is to everyone, Peggy. He's waiting to come into your heart and life. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit.
I've read those verses.
Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I can see a difference in you, Peggy. You're aglow.
I've received him as my Savior, and now I'm sure that God hears me. The Lord is teaching me so much.
You took your son to the boys' school?
Yes. The Lord confirmed the decision in several ways.
Even so, that must have been difficult to do. Did Jake know?
Well, his probation officer told him. I packed his belongings and had a couple of men from the church help me escort him down there. Gary's parents knew about Jake's problems and my efforts to help him, so I was confounded when they filed a lawsuit stating that I was an unfit mother. They wanted $1,800 monthly from me. I had to get an attorney, which costs thousands of dollars. Lord, please help me forgive them. I feel resentment, and I know that's not from you, Lord. You tell us to bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. I want your perfect will, Lord. I won the custody battle, and life began to settle down. I found a new church, one that taught the Bible. In a class on Proverbs, I learned how prideful I was, even in my depression that centered on self. I joined a singles group for companionship and became a leader, but didn't date. I decided to wait 5 years before considering a relationship. I had been a widow 3 years when I met Ellis.
Peggy, I lead an evangelistic outreach, and I wonder if the singles group would like to join us.
Well, maybe. We're always looking for spiritual involvement. That sounds perfect.
And then we can talk about a date.
Oh, I don't date.
No, I mean a date for the evangelistic event.
Oh.
We have a group that plays music, and I'll do the preaching. All we have to do is find a location and get the word out.
Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, without shedding of blood is no remission. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Without Christ Jesus, you must bear the penalty for your own sins. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is God's Passover Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world.
Ellis gave me a hug after the event, so I hugged others to deflect attention. He was so charming and sincere, but I felt ambivalent because of my 5-year vow. Still, there was something about Ellis, the way he always put the Lord first. We often talked by phone, and he told me about himself, how the Lord had saved him in jail and restored his broken life.
So pray for your children. My mom prayed for me for years. The Bible says pray without ceasing.
I do pray for them.
Jesus is everything to me. He must increase, but I must decrease.
God has amazing plans for your life, Ellis.
Yours too, Peggy.
Ellis, what is your interest in me?
I believe that God has chosen you to be my wife.
Oh, how do you know it was God?
I know God's voice, the same one who spoke to my heart in the jail cell.
I agonized because of my 5-year plan and thought I was violating my covenant with God. By then, Jake was back home, and he rejected Ellis, so I waffled back and forth, causing Ellis much grief. Ellis didn't waver in his commitment, though. I stayed up most of one night, seeking God's will for us. Then I realized I was actually in the 5th year of widowhood. Ellis and I married on Valentine's Day in 2009. We moved to Spearfish, South Dakota, that year to start a ministry that is still going strong. Ellis's evangelistic ministry developed a core group from different states, doing more than evangelism. They also train pastors and disciple new believers who come to Christ at the events. After a year and a half, the Lord took us to Colorado Springs. We sponsor evangelistic events in different states twice a year.
You read the whole Bible when you were young?
I was the religious one in the family. I didn't understand most of what I read, though.
Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Oh, Jesus sure opens your eyes. I always wanted to recreate myself because I was so lonely and depressed growing up.
Turns out Jesus recreates you when you're born again of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
I'm still in nursing, and Ellis still drives a truck. But our real love and service is to the living Lord, who gave his life to save us and rose again for our justification. I look back on the suffering, pain, and brokenness, and I am grateful because everything prepared me for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Count it all joy, the Bible says, and it's true. Trust in the Lord.
Listening friend, if you suffer loneliness and depression, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. He came to give you life, and life more abundantly. Jesus said, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The Bible promises that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you need help in making this life-changing decision for Christ, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. A listener writes, "I thank the Lord for your ministry and have told many about your broadcast." Well, thank you. And please, let the manager of this station know how much you appreciate hearing Unshackled. This is program number 3268. Heard in the true story of Peggy Lucas were Oksana Fedonishin, Michael Ward, Jennifer Dimmitt, Cynthia Judge, Brian Plaharchik, and Allison Voller. Original music, Scott Griffin. Sound, Nadine Aloysio Sorensen. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script, Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Timothy Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.